Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Reggie Padin. He is author of Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations. Dr. Padin's mission is all about helping people overcome their dumpster moments and go beyond their limitations. An award-winning speaker, his story has inspired many to believe in themselves and recognize their God-given potential. In his new book, Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations, he narrates the story of how he went from being a high school dropout, working for pennies, hauling garbage by hand out of a dumpster, to becoming a successful educator, author, entrepreneur, executive coach, and spiritual leader. For more information, you can visit his website, which is www.reggiepadin.com, and that's reggiepadin.com. And I do have a direct link to Reggie's website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Reggie to the show. Good day, sir. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure. I love highlighting stories of people who have had challenging circumstances and have really kind of shifted things around. Because right now it seems like so many people are going through, you know, challenging circumstances in their life. And sometimes, you know, it's really hard to get that shift in perspective. So, I love highlighting people like you. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Well, it surely is. I mean, we constantly hear of negative news, and it's good to hear good news once in a while, isn't it?
No, it is. It is. You know, and you know, if you hear someone, you know, who has successfully turned things around, then it gives you hope, and that certainly is the first step or a first step in certainly trying to, you know, make changes in one's own life. So before we go into the book and some of the information that you cover in that, I would
sure.
love for you, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit with the listeners. You know, I gave a little hint about being a high school dropout, but a little bit about your background, because that is to go from that point A to point B. That's quite a journey.
It absolutely was. Again, thank you so much for having me. Always an honor to share my story. You know, people make mistakes in life, and I surely made a lot of those growing up. And the thing with mistakes is they have consequences, and our actions, both for the good and bad, have consequences. And as a young man, I decided to. There were certain things happening in my life that decided me or pushed, you know, I decided to leave school a little premature, got married pretty young, started having kids right away. I was living actually in Canada and didn't have any legal status. So I was an illegal, undocumented person living in Canada. And so I couldn't find employment, adequate employment. I couldn't go to school. It was pretty difficult there for a few years. My wife was Canadian citizen, so I was able to begin the process. But before I received my papers, I had to just work whatever I could. And so I had to do odd jobs here and there, and they were not very well paid. And when I finally got my work permit, I remember being so excited because now I could, you know, find a better job. And the better job that I found was being as a janitor at a company. Actually, my father-in-law worked there. And what I didn't know was that the company was going was going out of business, was going bankrupt, and one of the first things they cut from their budget was paying the waste management company to come by and pick up the garbage. And so I became the waste management company. My boss called me to his office one day and said, "Hey, I want you to get a box truck and pull it around the company to every single dumpster around the company and get in there and haul all that garbage out, put it in the back of the dump truck and drive it to the landfill and drop it there." And this was in the middle of summer. I vividly remember the stench and how difficult it was and how hot it was inside that dumpster. And I remember driving back from the landfill one day and thinking to myself, "Boy, is this everything for my life? Is this what I'm gonna end up doing for the rest of my life?" And just almost immediately decided, no, this is not how my life is gonna end up. I'm gonna do something about it. And that mm-hmm. right there, that change, that mindset, that decision, mental decision, was the beginning of my journey of literally pulling myself out of that dumpster. And, you know, fast forwarding to today where I no longer am inside a physical dumpster. I have a pretty blessed life. It's been a great process.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, not many people have that physical, activity of being in a dumpster, but
right.
certainly have
sure.
had that feeling, you know. And so, how would you describe dumpster moments? I mean, obviously, you know, you had that
sure.
one moment, that literal moment, but also there, you kind of explain dumpster moments in a broader perspective as well.
Of course. And so I had to pull myself out of that first dumpster. But what I quickly realized was that we all face dumpsters, some literal, like the one I face, and some that are not literal, but are limiting situations that happen in our lives. Sometimes life throws it our way. Sometimes it's because of our own actions. And what I call in the book dumpster moment is anything that limits you or keeps you stuck in a level that you don't want to be, that you don't want to be in. You feel you want to reach a higher plane in your life, but for some strange reason, you're stuck. And so it could be anything. It could be a fear. It could be doubt. It could be, it could be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be where you live. It could be in a spiritual sense, how your soul is. It could be a mental blockage. Dumpster moments come in all shapes, sizes. They come to every person in every walk of life, and they come at every stage of our lives. What makes it a dumpster moment is whether or not we decide that limitation is going to keep us stuck. I always like to tell people it's you know, we can't avoid dumpster moments. They will always be there. But we can do something about those dumpster moments. And so a dumpster moment can be a great university. It could be a great teaching tool, or it could be something that limits us. It's really up to our actions whether or not we decide what we're going to do with that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, like you say, you know, those kinds of things are unavoidable, you know. I mean, and then, well, let me back up a little bit. In many cases, you know, we do have those dumpster moments that are unavoidable. But also, in your book, you talk about sometimes we create our own dumpster moments.
Absolutely.
Correct? So, I mean, it could be internal or external, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes people throw us in a dumpster. So, the dumpster moments will always be there. When I was thinking about the design for the book cover, I knew what I wanted to see there. And if you look at it, it's almost like a very successful business person on a high rise looking over the city. And right behind this gentleman is a dumpster, a blue dumpster. And I use it as a metaphor that the dumpster is always right behind you. Because, again, limitations are always there. And they can be a great motivation factor for us. It depends on what we decide to do with that situation. As long as that we have life and the ability to grow and learn, we can do something about our dumpster moments.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I did like that illustration on your book cover because, I mean, it was, I mean, knowing your story, you know, I mean, it really is a perfect depiction of your journey. But
absolutely.
Also it is really, yeah, it's great for people to recognize, you know, that you can have those behind you. So what are some things that you feel that lead to people experiencing dumpster moments? Are there any particular, you know, throughout your work that you causes or any kind of signs kind of things that we
sure.
can help identify?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think that the number one dumpster moment that everybody faces is fear and doubt. You know, we are creatures of habit and we are creatures of, you know, where our background and upbringing plays a big role in how we function as people. And so, you know, our upbringing, our childhood, our the homes where we grew up, and it doesn't mean that our parents were terrible people or that, you know, the people around us were bad. It was just that was the situation. So I like to always explain to my audience that, you know, my parents loved me to death, and I love my parents. But nobody in my family graduated from college ever. Nobody attended college. My dad had an eighth grade education. My mom graduated from high school, but education was not something very important in my upbringing. And so that had a lot to do with the way I looked at education. And, you know, we lived in a very difficult part of town in what some people would call the wrong side of the tracks. That played a huge part in the way I saw life and my outlook on the world. And when you grow up like that, and for some people it's other things, right? Some people have all the money in the world and they have great advantages. But maybe something in their background, in their upbringing, limits them. And for me, that became a limitation. So when I decided to venture out to be the first one in my family to you know, attend college and graduate from college and I get advanced degrees and grow as a professional and earn more money and live in a comfortable place and drive the car of my dreams and do all those things which I've been able to do, the first step was the most difficult because I was fearful and doubtful that was even a possibility for me. And so that is true across the board. We all are fearful of something. There's something in our background, in our upbringing, that deters us and hinders us from reaching that next level or what we want to achieve. And so we think it's a fantasy. We think, well, it's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be able to achieve that. I'm never going to be able to reach that goal. So I'm just going to get stuck. I'm going to be stuck here. That is something that I have seen in people from every walk of life, whether they're the CEO of a company, which I've been able to coach, you know, high level executives, or people without an education. Fear and doubt are probably the biggest obstacles and the greatest dumpster moments for anybody's life.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the the environment in which you grew up in. And, you know, one of the things I noticed in the very beginning of the book, you talk about, you know, that decision to leave school and venture out, that, you know, that in many cases, teachers really did not have necessarily high expectations for, you know, Latinos in the urban areas, you know, and I think that just kind of goes, you know, with just the idea of sometimes, you know, our environment, even the educational environment, sometimes can really put a damper on, or maybe feed that doubt as to potential of the individuals.
Absolutely. And it was true in my case. You know, for many years I worked as an ordained minister in the inner city. So I was able to see that as well in the lives of many people who or kids who grew up in those environments. And so, yeah, it becomes a big factor. And it can be a huge disadvantage to people. It was a huge disadvantage for me. However, mm-hmm. you know, there comes a point in our lives, and this is true. It was true for me where I didn't want to use that as an excuse. And for me, it became mm-hmm. a motivating factor to want to almost prove to people and to prove to myself that I was able to do much more than that. That you know, even that teacher, and I vividly remember, you know, one instance where the teacher, you know, called somebody in my class stupid because mm-hmm. you know the kid couldn't speak English very well. You know, that became for me fuel to want to achieve more. And so yes, it becomes a factor. But whether or not we decide, you know, we decide that we're going to stay or make that a permanent thing in our lives is really up to us.
Yeah. That, you know, that's true. And, you know, that's the one thing that I've, you know, when it comes time to, you know, empowering our youth, you know, and recognizing the importance of, you know, having educators who can see the potential, you know, and actually, yeah. you know, remove limitations, you know, because it's, I mean, it's just one of those things where, I mean, you know, in many families, you know, limitations are passed down generation to generation.
Yes.
The thoughts of limitation are passed down.
Yes.
And it's sometimes hard to break out of that cycle.
Absolutely. And, you know, and even in those circumstances, I remember that when I was growing up in one of those schools, I remember Mr. David Wagner, who was a former military guy who became a teacher. He was my social studies teacher. And this guy was fantastic. I mean, he would not allow his students to settle. He believed in us. You could tell that he loved us. He really believed in what he was doing. And so there's always that person. And in fact, that he was probably one of the first people who encouraged me, if not explicitly, but implicitly by his actions, to think, you know, beyond my limitations. He would tell us, you know, hey, you guys can do anything you want, but you're gonna have to work really hard. And that has been so true in my life. You know, I've been able to. I've been fortunate. I've been able to really achieve the goals that I've set for my life, but it's been really, really hard, really difficult work. And so, you know, I thank God for those teachers who are faithful to, you know, inspiring their students to think and to believe in you know, in possibilities, because it makes a difference. It made a difference in my life.
Yeah, obviously you remember him. I mean, you know, and you remember
what he did
for you, and yeah, and you know, and that's the kind of impact that I think not only teachers, but each of us can have on people in our lives as being that little inspirational light, you know, the one that, you know, that said something just right that we needed to hear just at that one moment that we're probably at our lowest, you know, lowest point that we really needed somebody to kind of lift us up, that, you know, those are the kind of things that is within each of us to be able to do.
And it's interesting that I don't remember the names of, you know, the teachers that were you know, I guess not very good. But I do remember. I do remember the names of the good ones. I do remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Very much so. Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, when somebody is in that particular, you know, experiencing their dumpster moment, you know, that feeling of being stuck, being limited, not having any idea of, you know, what to do or what to do.
Right.
For you, was it, I mean, obviously there's that physical aspect of being in the dumpster, and this is not what I want in my life, but I mean, what was the mental shift that you did? And, you know, because, you talked a little bit about how, you know, you weren't going to, this wasn't going to be your life, you know, or you were going to show
right.
people. So, I mean, it seems like there's kind of
right.
different motivations or different ways to get somebody to do something, to make a shift.
Well, you know, what and this is probably the best way to explain it. One sure way to start your journey outside of whatever dumpster you may find yourself in is to find your purpose. And I was able to trace back in my life, even as a child, what was it, what I began asking myself, what is my purpose? And, you know, I don't want to get overly religious. I'm not, you know, I am a person of faith. And so I want to be sensitive to people who may not be. But my belief system really led me to believe that I was on this planet for a purpose. There was a purpose in my mm-hmm. life. And I wanted to figure out what that purpose was and live out that purpose. And so I knew that my purpose in this life was not to be in that dumpster. It was to do something more. And I began searching my life, and I started asking myself, okay, what is it that I like to do? What would I like to do? And for me it was, you know, it was to help other people, to inspire other people, to coach, to teach. You know, I've always been, a teacher, an instructor. And so when I was in that dumpster with my colleagues, I was always been very inquisitive, and I love learning. And so for me, it was simple. For me, it was, okay, my purpose is to help people. Now let me see how I'm going to do that. How am I going to inspire people and teach people? And so the one thing I needed to do for sure was to get my education. And so I began that journey. So I went back, I believe I was 20 years old by that time, and I went back and got my – studied very hard and got my GED and, started working, you know, odd jobs here and there. And at 25 – I landed a position as an assistant youth minister in an inner city church in Pennsylvania, and at the same time I started getting my college education. And so when I was in college, you know, as a 25-year-old in a college full of young kids, basically. I was one of a handful of married students with kids. You know, I couldn't live on campus. I had to, you know, commute to and from college and work, you know, two jobs to support my family while I attended college, work at the church. And I realized in my first, when I started college, I thought, well, I need to get my college education and that's it. But in the middle of my first year, I realized, no, if I want to teach and make this a profession, I'm going to need more than a college degree, so I'm going to have to get a master's degree. And so that was the whole journey. You know, I was able to get myself on track and look for the opportunities to really live out my purpose. For other people, it may not be. You know, I tell people, you know, college may be for you, and it may not be for you, but it's not really a limiting factor. If it's part of your purpose to do this, then you must. If it's not part of your purpose, then you don't have to. But find your purpose and start working towards living that out.
Yeah, I can see where, well, basically finding your purpose or recognizing what you really feel you were born to do, you know, can really be a guiding force, you know, in helping. And it seems that, you know, sometimes when we get stuck, either in circumstances, a job, a relationship, you know, whatever we feel, in many cases, I think we've lost that sense of purpose, you know, that
yes.
Or that the purpose has maybe been shifted, like in a relationship to the other person being primary, you know, their whatever their purpose is, I'm here to support that, which you kind of,
yes.
One would lose sense then.
Yes, and so, and again, it's something that you can come back to over and over again. And I remember back in those, you know, the early steps I took out of the dumpster, I created this like spreadsheet, right? And I you know, by year. So, you know, year by year, what I wanted to accomplish and what I needed to do in order to achieve my goal. And it, you know, that becomes like a map for your life. And so I'm a firm believer in writing down your goals and really spending some time in visualizing your life and what you want to do in your life, and then writing those out and coming back to it. And what you're going to find is it's going to take many, many shapes. It's going to be different drafts of that. But the main core of what you're called to do will always be there. I'll give you an example. I thought that because I wanted to teach and coach people, it was going to be in the ministry. And so I went and got my college degree. My major was in religion, theology. My first master's degree was in divinity, theology. And I was working as a minister. What I found out was that there were aspects of that I enjoyed, and there were aspects of it that I didn't. And so when I found myself that a new dumpster moment, you know, because I felt very frustrated, and I felt, well, this is not really, I mean, I enjoy aspects of it, but not everything. What is it that I want to do? And then I saw the possibility of moving into the corporate arena and becoming very active in corporate training. That really educated my next steps. And so I decided to get a second master's degree, which was an MBA, to be able to work in the business world. And that opened, I mean, that shift opened a whole new realm of possibilities for me, because, you know, I was able to teach at the corporate setting, you know, assist in future leaders and managers, because I was, now I had a master's degree. I was able to start teaching at the college level and really start nurturing and mentoring students. And it was a great shift for me. You see, all along I wanted to teach people and I wanted to coach people. But it took different turns. It took different twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
I had to navigate.
Yeah, well, you know, also do it in a spreadsheet format, but that allows you a lot of flexibility to readjust the plan, you know. Yeah,
absolutely.
Those are great to navigate.
The one thing I wanted to say,
go ahead.
It's never a waste of time. You may think, you know, oh my goodness, you know, I started in this direction and now I'm doing something different. For me, it was a great building block. I never regret the years that I spent as a minister working in a church setting, because those building blocks allowed me to do a much better job in the corporate world, and to do a better job for my students at the university level. And so they're never a mistake. They're always great building blocks for the future.
Yeah, it was just like leaving school, working, getting that stinky dumpster job, you know. I mean, all of that was critical.
All of it,
for what you're doing right now. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You can say without that you wouldn't be.
Well, without that dumpster, there is no get out of the dumpster book. So
exactly. Well, we're about halfway through, so I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners that if you would like to ask Reggie any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to them right after the break. And then when we return, Reggie, I want to talk about one of the things you cover in your book are different steps that people can take in order to reprogram their mind. And so I'd like to maybe just touch on those when we come back, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there. Or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc. And we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Dr. Reggie Padin, and we're talking about his new book, Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations. Again, you can find out more by visiting his website, which is www.reggiepadin.com, and that's reggiepadin.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Reggie.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Alrighty. Okay, great. All right. Well, it seems that, you know, that shift that you made from the dumpster to entrepreneur, speaker, motivator required a different mindset, and so in your book you talk about different steps to reprogram your mind. So would you mind kind of sharing just a little bit about that, because that seems to be really kind of where it all starts in order to be able to make things shift.
Absolutely. I mean, the battle that we face in our lives, the limitations all start in our minds. And again, you know, it's because of the way we've been programmed. So it's almost like you have to get rid of the old operating system that you were working under, and replace it with a new operating system. And so definitely it begins with a shifting in the mindset that is going to get you out of that limiting situation.
Okay. So now, I have grown up I had one of the best teachers in limitation, with my parents growing up. And even to this day, I still find myself falling into that mindset. I know better. I've read all the books. I've talked, I know better, but I still fall into that. I mean, it's obviously deeply ingrained, So, when someone finds themselves confronted with those limiting beliefs, and really kind of what. I mean, I know what they are for me, but I mean, for people who are out there, I mean, what are some of the signs or some indications that one has limiting beliefs? I mean, maybe we're not even aware that we're limiting ourselves.
Right. When we are facing limiting situations, we never feel good. And so I guess that's the first, that's the first sign that, you feel like there's something missing. You're not happy with your life. You're not happy with the way things are going. You feel like there's so much more that you want to accomplish or want to do, and yet you're not. And so you're not feeling good about your life or your situation. And so these are, and again, probably these are not steps for everybody, but these are certainly the things that I've done in my life.
Great.
Number one is to realize that I'm responsible for my feelings. I'm responsible for everything that is going on in my life. Okay, so I have to stop blaming, my past and my parents and my upbringing and any of those things that which may have contributed, but I cannot blame it. I have to do something about it. And so you have to take 100% responsibility for your life. If you don't like it, change it. Start making taking the steps to go in the new direction that you want for yourself. The second thing that I tell people is, and I write about this in my book, is that failure is good. In fact, you are going to fail in your attempt at your new life or whatever it is that you want to do differently in your life. You're going to fail. And I don't know if this is true for you, but for most people, we were taught that failure is bad. And, we were reprimanded if we failed. And so what happens is if you accept that premise that failure is bad, then you will not take chances. Because the last thing you want to do is, not succeed. But the problem with that is that you can't succeed unless you fail. You have to fail multiple times before you succeed. Because that's one of the ways in which we learn. And so I tell people, I said, look, get it out of your head that failure is bad. Actually, failure is good, because failure is going to get you closer to your new goal. The other thing that I tell people is that you have to. Think positively. And I know that this is probably quirky and some people think, they say, well, that's fine and dandy, but does it really work? And the answer is yes. You have to expect that something good is going to happen. Again, sometimes we are programmed to think the worst, that the worst is going to happen. But you have to hold in your vision that actually something good is going to happen in my life. And I can't tell you how many times as I ventured out into whatever it is that I wanted to do, as I really believed in my heart and held that vision clearly in my head that something good was going to happen, it gave me a better attitude. It gave me a better outlook on life. And you project that. And so what happens is, that as when you project that confidence, when you project that that new possibility, when you carry yourself, with your head held high and your shoulders back and you're optimistic, that is contagious. And what's going to happen is it's going to bring good things into your life. It opens doors. It, you know, people will see something in you and give you that opportunity. The other thing is you have to hold that vision of your purpose constantly. That has to be your true North Star. You know where you're focusing. You know where you're going. And anything that happens right now that gets in the way is only temporary, because you're moving towards that destination. The other thing I talk about is, you know, fake it until you make it. Again, that goes with, you know, failure is good. Again, fake until you make it. The way we learn how to walk as children was we faked that we were walking until we actually did it, and we felt more than a few times. But that will carry you through. I remember when I went into the corporate world and to train, I had absolutely no background whatsoever in the corporate arena. None. I knew the principles of, you know, how to teach and motivate people and put lesson plans together from the years of, you know, because of my education and because of the years that I did it in the ministry. But, you know, I had to fake it until I made it in the corporate world. You know, I talk about stop complaining because, you know, people don't, you know, they don't really like people who whine and complain. Actually, it does no one any good to complain. You know, you were mentioning how do you, you know, these thoughts will keep popping in your head, you know, that your old mindset will keep popping in your head, and there's a good reason for that. Whenever you learn something, what's happening in your brain is that you're actually etching that in your brain. You're creating neuron connections that will never go away. That's where we get the proverb, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's absolutely true. Once you learn something, once you learn a bad habit or an old habit, it never goes away. It's always there. What you need to do now is replace them. And so whenever a negative thought or negative habit tries to, you know, creep back in, because it will never leave you, you have to shut it down. You have to say, no, I know that is the tendency. That was the way I was. That's what I wanted to do before, but it's not what I'm going to do today because it's kind of productive to what I want to do. And then finally, you know, you can't change your mindset on your own. You have to find reinforcement and support that walks with you along your journey. And that's why I'm a huge, huge believer in constantly learning, in feeding your mind with good things, in learning from the people who've done it before, in finding good mentors and coaches along the way. And in fact, what I tell people is, you know, when I first started, I didn't have physical mentors, but what I did was I found role models that I started patterning my life and my career after. And now with, you know, with the great advantages that we have with the internet and YouTube and social media, it's so much easier to find good role models, even if we've never met them in person. Just the fact that their stories out there, that their lessons are out there, their principles are out there that we can learn from and mimic, you know, going back to faking it until you're making it, you're modeling your life after maybe a picture of what you would want to be. It doesn't mean that it's gonna be 100% exactly like that other person, like the person that you're mimicking, but it will get you closer to your goal. And this is a process that you have to do constantly. The longer you do it, the better it will be for your life.
Yeah. I want to talk about a few of those. First of all, you know, the fake it till you make it. One of the things that I find is, maybe you can talk a little bit to this. I understand the idea of emulating what it is that you want your life to be. kind of,
right.
you know, to be able to. But also, there's, I think, isn't it important to recognize that this is something that you want, you know, basically at soul level, you know, that maybe, you know, it's like you're trying to fake out, you know, what you believe. I guess it gets down to the point of, you know, whether or not you have a strong enough belief that
right.
what you want to have in your life, what you're emulating, is at the core of your beliefs. So, you know, and again, I guess because one of the kind of my drawbacks to fake it till you make it is that, I mean, if I'm trying to try and fake out my soul, there's no way I'm going to do that. You know, I'm not
right.
going to fake out my deep-seated beliefs, but I
sure.
can understand where I can, by emulating and acting and behaving, modeling the type of reality that I want, also has benefits to maybe shift that core belief that maybe needs to shift. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. And for me, it was quite, you know, the fake it till you make it. You know, I knew that I needed to, in order for me to achieve those goals in my life, I needed to behave differently. I needed to speak differently. I needed
mm-hmm.
to dress differently. I had to, and of course, I didn't have all that knowledge then, but I put it into practice. The way I carried myself, and in fact, the way I even started bringing up my children, was as though we were not poor. So I'm gonna give you. I mean, we were living in government housing. We were receiving government assistance. But as far as my children were concerned, and as far as I was concerned, we were living already on the right side of the tracks, if you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
The way we carried ourselves. And the way I brought up my children was as though we were not poor. Again,
right.
I'm not saying that is for everybody. It, you know, people may disagree with
mm-hmm.
that. I'm just saying this was my experience. And so what happened was when I made it to those next levels, it had already felt like I had lived it for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had already programmed my mind and myself to believe that was a possibility for me, and that creates a mind shift, and it gives you that new sense of you know, I can do this, and there's nothing to it. So again, that was one approach
mm-hmm.
that I did.
Right, that's great. Yeah, you know, and it's and I like I said, I see the benefits in what you did. Is you see by living in your life and guiding your children in that belief that you weren't poor, that you were, you know, on the quote right side of the tracks, you know, that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing, that basically gets to the basic belief system. So that, and the feeling, and, you know, and then once you have that as a base and a feeling, then the outward manifestation can fall into place. I mean, it can,
yeah.
you know, it's like, okay, this is natural. This is the way it should be. This is
the
way that
it
is.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it takes away the mystery of it. Again,
mm-hmm.
you know, it becomes almost familiar. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, I remember for many years, you know, I always had a vision to give my children, you know, a better life. And that was, you know, I have four children, by the way. And so I wanted them to each have their room and have space and live living in a pretty big home in the suburbs, you know, with in front of a lake, and this was back when when I didn't have any money. But it happened. And when it
mm-hmm.
happened, I remember moving into my house, where my kids would have their own bedrooms, and it was in front of a lake. It felt like I had already been there. And now what it does, it gives me possibility to think, you know, what else can I accomplish? There are
mm-hmm.
no limitations. Limitations are, and I write about this. Limitations are really are the illusion. Limitations are those things which I allow to be a limitation in my life because they really don't exist.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the things I liked about your book is in it when you talk about when faced with limitation, your first question is going to be, "What are you going to do about it?" You know, and I thought, you know, that is the perfect response, in my opinion, perfect response, you know, to have to change that idea or the, you know, that idea of a limitation is to get rid of it. You know, what are you going to
do about it?
And so many people just don't. I mean, they just allow the limitation to define them.
Yes, yes, yeah. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. You know, I don't want people to be delusional, right? So for instance, I could say, well, I have all the belief in the world that I am going to be an NBA star. And that's never gonna happen.
So
the reason is that my purpose is not to be an NBA player, and so
right.
I may want to force myself to. Well, you're gonna be an NBA player, and I'm gonna fail miserably. I'm never gonna achieve that goal. I'm too slow. I can't jump. I can't shoot. I'm not tall enough. And so I'm not very athletic. And I could practice. 24/7, and I'm never going to make it because, again, that is not my purpose. So there's a difference
right.
between being delusional and really aligning yourself to, again, your purpose and what you can accomplish. And so that's something that I wanted to add as well.
Yeah, that's good too. One of the things when you talked about. Or you mentioned about talking or thinking positively,
yes.
you know, and expecting good things. You know, one of the things that, you know, that I'd like in your approach in the book is that, you know, thinking or just hoping for, you know, something to change. I mean, just the actual thought isn't the be all to end all. I mean, it really,
no.
like you talked about projecting good, doing something, like dressing the part, you know,
yes.
talking and knowing. So, I mean, what I really want the listeners to recognize that, you know, positive thinking is good, positive doing is even better.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, the actual, I only spend one chapter on thinking. The rest of the chapters is all about doing. And so again, if you can think all you want about what you want in your life and what you want to accomplish, but unless you set things in motion and you put in the time and the effort and the work, you know, I tell people, and this is something that I tell my students, I tell this to my kids, you know, because people would say, well, I wish I could do that, but I don't have time. And so I say, okay, let's sit down and let's take an inventory of your life and your time, and so
mm-hmm.
walk me through your life. And I find out that they spend, oh, I don't know, 4 hours a day on social media. And again, we love social
mm-hmm.
media. And I love social media because it gets our message across. But you know, they spend 4 hours in social media and another, you know, 4 hours watching, you know, television. That's 8 hours.
Right.
And so I tell people, I say, okay, so let's see if we were to budget our time a little bit better. And what I did,
right.
and this is, I mean, this is not that I'm telling people that they need to do this, but what I did is I stopped watching television altogether. I would watch a program here and there or sporting events here and there, but the whole, you know, coming home and spending, you know, 6 hours watching television and then going to sleep for me became counterproductive. And so I cut it out. For many, many, many years, I would say no to, you know, invitations to go to happy hour or to, you know, go to a party here and there. Or I had to sacrifice my time because I was on a mission. I was on a purpose. I had to, you know,
right.
I was going to school. I was working. I was bettering myself and doing the things that I needed to do. And so absolutely, thinking positively and thinking that you can accomplish something is great, and it's absolutely the first step. But doing, I read in the book, and this is from the Bible, that faith without works is dead. And you can have all the faith in the world, but unless you put it into practice, it's dead. There's nothing good that comes out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gosh, we're already down to the very end of the show, Reggie. The hour has really flown by. So, before we close, are there any final words you want to maybe give to the listeners? I do want to let people know that they can buy your book from your website. There's also a link that if they would like to hire you as a speaker, and also you have a blog there too. So there's a lot of things on your website that they can do. But maybe any final words for listeners?
Absolutely. You know, again, we've spent most of our time talking about what limitations are and the first steps that we need to do in order to get out of those situations. And what I'd like to tell people is give yourself permission to take time. Don't rush into anything. Celebrate the small victories in your life. Don't think, I tell people you can't go from A to Z in one step. You have to go from A to B and C. And maybe you can take a couple of steps here and there. But trust the process. Trust your purpose. Find your purpose. And once you do that, everything else will really fall into place.
Well, that's great. Well, I really want to thank you for your time. Now, I've liked your Facebook page, so I'll be following you there, and I'm also following you on Twitter. So for those listening, if you use those social media platforms, feel free to definitely join Reggie and me there if you'd like. And I look forward to following your journey. I've really appreciated your conversation with me today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it thoroughly myself. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Dr. Reggie Padin, and we've been talking about his new book, Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations. Again, you can find out more by visiting his website, www.reggiepadin.com, and that's REGGIEPADIN.com. And again, there is a direct link to his website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.